We're going to start in the book of Psalms tonight and end up in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to go all over the place in between there. So get your Bibles ready. We won't just be in one place. We'll be in several places. But go with me, first of all, tonight to the book of Psalms 146. Psalms 146. Verse number 5. Psalms 146 and verse number 5. What the psalmist said. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again tonight just for the privilege we have to come together and share our prayer requests and sing songs of praise to you. Lord, now as we open your word, we just pray, Lord, for your spirit to direct it to our hearts. Lord, help us to realize what we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to leave here tonight with a greater understanding of that, that we might want to live in this world that seems to need it so badly. Lord, we just pray again for all the special requests that's been mentioned tonight. Lord, especially for those that are lost. We want to remember them in a special way. Those who have been exposed to the gospel, Lord, we just pray that throughout this night that they will think about that and your spirit will continue to convict of that condition. Lord, we just pray now for the next few moments that you'll just open our minds and our hearts to your word, which in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to think about happiness tonight. I was told one time from a member of another church that I pastored that there's no way that God's people can be happy. And God has never promised His people that they would be happy. And I sort of just let that go and got to think, well, maybe He's right. Maybe we're just to be contented with the way things are and just sort of drudgingly make it through this life and finally get to heaven where we can finally be happy. But I don't believe that. I believe God wants us to have happiness right here, right now. And I don't think happiness is a state of mind. I hear that all the time. Happiness is a state of mind. I don't believe that. I believe happiness is a real thing. I believe there is such thing as false happiness. You believe that? I've had some false happiness in my life. When I was a young boy, a little bit older than Aaron, I was addicted to basketball. I mean, if it was snowing, sleeting, raining, I was out there shooting hoops. I went to the house, and when I was eating breakfast in the morning, I was dribbling. And before they had Nerf basketballs, I was bouncing it off the wall. I'd lay in my bed, and I'd pass it to the wall, and he'd pass it back. Mom and Dad would just fuss and holler. Can't understand why. But that ball would just bounce off the wall. I'd catch it, bounce it off. But you know what? Today, I haven't played basketball. I can't tell you when since church camp, I guess. And I'm still happy. Happiness is not in playing basketball. You know, you win and you're happy. And you lose and you're happy. I never lost a basketball game that I left there and say, boy, I'm happy we lost. I never was a good loser. Happiness is not a state of mind. It's not a false happiness. It's a real thing. It's something that doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what the circumstances in your life are at this moment. Happiness is a real thing. And I want us to look at it from God's standpoint. Look at verse number 5 one more time, and we'll leave this place and we'll move on. It says, happy is he that hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Let me say this. You cannot be happy unless you're saved. People in this world can tell me they're happy, but if they don't have Christ, they are really not happy. They may be thinking they're happy, and they may be feeling happiness in their life. But I want them to understand real happiness only comes from God and having God. And the writer of this psalmist says this, whose hope is in God. Folks, that's the only place happiness is. And I want us to see tonight how you and I can have happiness in this world at this time. And I want to say this. I don't think everybody that's saved is happy. I think there's some Christians, there's some people in this world that are saved, and I believe truly saved, but I don't think they're happy. And I want you to understand that you can be saved and you can be happy. You can have both. And that's what God wants us to have. I think it's so expressionable on people's faces today. I think happiness is something that happens on the inside, but it affects the outside. Do you agree or disagree? If you're happy in here, you can't hide it out here. But if you're not happy in here, and if you're hurting in here, it's going to show out here, right? And so we see a lot of God's people who are going through this life, and it's obvious that they're not happy. You see the pain, you see the sorrow, you see the bitterness, you see the different things that's in their lives. And I want us to see that God needs to work in here, and it'll be affected out here, and the world will see that, and they'll want what you and I have. So that's the best happy meal we can have, right? Christians can really get a happy meal. So let me give you a happy meal, and the prize is you can leave here with a smile on your face. That'll be the toy, okay? And we'll go home tonight and say, you know what? We can be saved and happy because the preacher said so. No, because God said so. And I want to show you some verses that will prove that tonight. Psalms 128. Let me say this about being happy. To be happy, you must walk right. I think God has a way for His people to walk. And that way is different than any other way. And I think that the only way we'll be happy is to walk the way God wants us to walk. So Psalms 128 says this, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." You think we can be happy? God says we can. And He says the way it happens is, first of all, there must be fear of God. I spent a whole Wednesday night on that, and I don't want to drag that up again. But let me just remind us about what the fear of God is. The fear of God is caution in our life. I think God throws things out there for you and I to not go there. And if we fear God, we'll see the cautions that He gives us, and we won't go there. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. Told you we'll be everywhere. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. This is what the writer of Acts, probably Peter, said this. "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." God blessed them when they were doing what God wanted them to do. Let me say this. God will bless you if you'll do right. And I'm going to tell you what you'll find. You'll find that you're happy when God blesses you. And you'll find out you're happy in doing what's right. Now go back to the book of Proverbs. I'll give you a good example of this. God's people have a big problem with this. I think any kind of drinking is wrong. Social or otherwise. That's not an amen when that's an old me, right? We're not going to amen an old preacher. I believe it's all wrong. And I'm going to show you a couple of verses that you won't be able to argue with me about. You'll just have to say, well, I don't think God meant that one for me. Okay? So look at Proverbs 20, verse number 1. "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise." What do you think? Well, he didn't say nothing about beer, preacher. You know what? They didn't have past blue ribbon back when they wrote the book of Proverbs, okay? Wine was probably the weakest of all alcohol at that time. And God says, Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. And whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. But there's more. Go with me to Proverbs 22. And this ain't a sermon about drinking, okay? Or Proverbs 23. This is just a warning that God has given us. And if we don't listen to it, it will cause us problems. And I promise you, you won't be happy. The reason I picked on drinking is because people drink to be what? Happy. Because at the bar, they call it blank hour. What do they call that? Happy hour, right? They're half price. It's happy hour. Everybody's happy. See them? They look happy, don't they? Different kind of happiness. It doesn't last. And this is what God says about it in the book of Proverbs. Verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that, do you? You ever heard, you ever seen somebody when they're drunk and they're talking, blah, 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 blah? How did I get this bruise on my arm? Eyes look like road maps, red. But he doesn't stop there. This is what he says. They that tarry long at wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Folks, that's real. God is saying when you get in that bottle and you start drinking a little bit, and you start just drinking a little bit, you'll start drinking a little bit more, and you'll say things that you wouldn't normally say, and you'll look at strange women. It'll happen. God is saying, I'm warning you, don't do this. He said in verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Now, I understand what he's saying. He says, you will get sick. You won't convince that guy that's drunk at that moment that he's going to get sick. But there's going to come a spell somewhere in the next 24 hours that he's going to be like he's on a ship. But God's not done yet. Look what He says. And He says, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And where did the warning begin? God said what? Don't even look at it. That is a warning from God. Now, if you want to be happy, you will teetotally stay away from alcohol. Now, I'm not anti-NyQuil, okay? When I get the flu, I do take NyQuil. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about just one to make you relax, or what we call social drinking. God says it's all wrong. Boy, I can't get one. I got to give myself one because I know I'm right. Amen. Thank you. I know it's right. And I told you that this hits a nerve with God's people. Folks, it's never all right. And you'll not find happiness there. God wants you to know where you'll find happiness at. It's not in a bottle. It's not in a pill. It's in Him. And He'll go on and He'll teach us that in just a little bit. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First of all, we've got to fear the Lord. If we're going to walk right, we've got to fear the Lord. We've got to do what's right. We've got to heed His Word, heed His cautions. Second part of that is we've got to be honest. Look at verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Verse 11 says, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we command you. You know what God has said? If you want to be happy and you want to walk right, don't be a busybody. Mind your business. You do what's right between you and God. Try to help along the way. Verse number 12, it gets a little more in-depth. He says this, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may lack of nothing. You know what we're lacking in our world today is honesty. The greatest thing that our world is missing today is honesty. And we need to learn as God's people to be honest. I don't know all your pastors. I know Brother Jerry, and I don't know any of the others. But I can tell you this. I'm always going to be honest. If I tell you that I have messed up, I'll tell you that. I don't want anybody to ever think that you have a perfect pastor. Because there's no such thing. As long as you have humans that are pastors, they're going to be imperfect. And the reason it's good to be honest is that people can pray for you. I don't know if that's my pacemaker or not. If it is, just hang on. My battery's good. 2 more years. We need to learn to be honest with each other. You've hurt my feelings. I'm probably going to tell you. Be honest. You do it out of love, but you're honest. And God says that we need to definitely walk honestly in this world against those who are not believers. When we're doing business with this world, we need to be honest. I had a church member one time, bless her heart. She's a sweet old thing. But when she wanted to go to a special activity, she would go to the store and get a dress and wear it to it. Y'all ready? She took it back after the thing was over. She didn't tear it, and she could completely vouch for it as okay. I'm just going to wear it one time. That's not honest, is it? Unless things have changed how I was brought up, that's not honest. If you get too much change from the cashier, what should you do? Thank you, Lord. The Lord's looking out for us. He knew we needed that extra 10. You give it back. That happened to Rochelle this week. And I was thinking, Rochelle, we could have went out to eat. But you had to be honest. Honesty is good. And you know what you'll find if you do what's right and you're honest? Guess what will come on your face? A smile. Because God will always bless you by being honest. We need to be honest with our husbands and our wives. We need to be honest with our children. We need to be honest, most importantly, with God. Let me move you on. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse number 1 says this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Now look at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, how? In newness of life. As you're walking as a Christian and you want to be happy, you need to be honest. You need to listen to God's Word. You need to walk God's path. You need to fear Him. If God says this is no good, then I promise you, you'll never be happy doing it. You're going to be happy when you don't do it. But thirdly, and maybe most importantly, you need to remind yourself that you're to walk in newness of life. When you were baptized, you were making a public testimony. You were identifying yourself with other believers, and you were saying, I am following Christ now. And folks, from that point on, you began to walk in newness of life. There's a new path for you. And things that you used to do, you don't do anymore. The day you got saved, Jesus began to change your thoughts. The day you got identified with that group of fellowship of believers, people started watching you. Because you say you're a Christian. And so now they're going to see if you are. And how they're going to do that is by how you walk. Folks, our walk is the most important thing that we have. I can talk a pretty good talk sometimes. But it's a lot tougher to walk the walk, isn't it? Because that's when it begins real. We can tell you what the Bible says. I know a lot of people that can tell you what the Bible says. But it's a lot tougher to walk what the Bible says. So to be happy, we've got to walk right. Now, number two, go with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. See, I'm just one of those preachers that think you got to live it. So I'm going to say this tonight. If you want to be happy, you got to live the Christian life. Not just walk it out there in the public, but you got to live it. You got to really believe it. Is it possible to practice something and not really believe it? Is that a possibility? I've did that in my life. I've did something because I knew it was wrong, because it's been preached to me, my parents had told me, but and I just didn't do it because everybody told me it was wrong. But it made more sense when I realized it was wrong for myself. And when you begin to live that life and you begin to pray because you want to pray, and you begin to give. Let's say that you need to give right too, right? Is there a right way to give? The Bible says not of grudgingly or of necessity, right? For God loves a cheerful giver. When we give, when I first started giving, it was because I was told to. I told you about when me and Michelle first got married, and that first Sunday together as a married couple, she wrote a check to church. And that, boy, that just, Shell, you know, it's tight right now, and you writing a check to church. That showed you where the Christian level was in our marriage. She was a little bit above me then. Because I knew I should have gave it, but it just really wasn't a good time for me to be giving it right now. I just got married and needing to do a little work here and fix some stuff there. And we'll give when it comes time. And she done wrote the check and put it in. But you know what? When you give because you want to, not of grudgingly, and you start thinking, boy, if I wouldn't have gave that money, I could have done this week. That's grudgingly, right? And the necessity is, if I don't give it, God's going to kill me. That's necessity. Give it because you want to give back to God that gave it to you. That was a commercial about giving, so we'll move on to living, okay? So go with me to Titus chapter 2, verse number 12. This is what he says. He says, verse number 12, Titus 2, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. What do you got to do to live right? Well, he gives us a little list there, and I want you to just to look at a couple of things, maybe draw a line. First of all, he says, denying ungodliness. In other words, when I read that, I'm told that I'm going to be offered ungodliness. And I need to learn to deny it. You know what? I am never tempted as long as I don't see it. right? When my heart doctor told me to quit drinking Mountain Dew, I had no problem as long as there was none in the house. No problem. If I seen a Mountain Dew commercial, the problem began. But as long as I couldn't do anything about it, I was still okay. But when the Mountain Dew came into the house and it sat on the counter and I had to say no to it, I'm just not that strong. And I think what God wants us to understand, ungodliness is going to come our way. But we got to learn to deny that. And today, Rochelle is my witness. We had a code red Mountain Dew sitting on the counter. And I chose Sprite over it. Amen? Thank you. You know, if you want the preacher to hang around, you need to encourage him to stay off the Mountain Dew, right? And at a time, there was a time in my life I couldn't have done it. But right now, I can do that. I can do without it. But there's other things in this life that's even greater than Mountain Dew. There's fleshly desires that the devil will begin to throw in front of you. See, we know that we have this fleshly body. And the devil knows that. And what the devil will do is he'll just pass things in front of you and let you see them. And he knows what he's going to pass. He's going to pass those things in front of you that you're weak for. See, if I was a person that craved meat, T-bone steaks, and a big old slab of liver passed in front of me, didn't bother me none. I'm good. Didn't even have an urge. Can't taste it. But that big T-bone steak slide through there, oh, I can taste it. Right? You know what is the devil going to put in front of you? Something you don't like? Or is the devil going to put in front of you something that you like? That your body says, yeah. And you've got to learn to say no. Denying ungodly lusts. If you want to live right, you've got to learn to say no to things. And I'm going to promise you this. They'll keep coming, they'll keep coming, and they'll keep coming. And you've got to keep saying no, no, no. Look what else he says. He says, we should live soberly and righteously. And I keep thinking about that word soberly. Self-controlled. Not letting anybody else control me. Not letting any other thing control me. But letting God control me. That's being soberly. We talk about someone that's drunk, he's not sober. And we say, well, the alcohol's controlling him. He did that because of the alcohol. You don't have to be drunk not to be sober, okay? You can just let things lead you and take you in the wrong directions, and that's when it's wrong. Let me take you over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. This has always been a favorite verse of mine. I probably quoted it 2 or 3 times this week out in public to people. And I'll be honest with you, it's a tough one. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus was sending out His disciples. He'd got them and was fixing to send them out on their own to do some of God's work. And this is what He told them before He sent them. He said in verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. What does that tell you about where we are? Are we living in sheep country or wolf country? We're living in wolf country, aren't we? We're sheep that's living in wolf country. So what do we know? We know the wolves are around us, right? And He says, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst the wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, if you want to really think about something throughout the rest of this night, ponder that thing, that thought. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Are serpents wise? Are they? Sure they are. They're wise. If, If you don't like snakes, you still need to learn how they operate, because God says that we need to be wise as one of those serpents. Well, let me say this before we close. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul told us in Titus that we need to be zealous and we need to be looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. If we want to live right, we're going to be the kind of people that live right. We are wise as serpents, we're harmless as doves. We don't do what's wrong. We don't let the devil lure us away from what we know is right. We're walking in the fear of God. And also we're looking for His return. But I think about what he tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. He says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You know what's very easy to do? It's very easy to get complacent in your Christian life. I mean, you can go to church, you can read your Bible, and you just sort of get in a rut and go through the motions. And I want you to know this, you'll not find happiness. What I'm talking about tonight is how to be happy as a Christian. God wants us to be happy. The lost world needs to see smiles that are real. Happiness that is real. Because if you don't realize it, the world as a whole is looking for happiness. They are. That's why cruises are important. That's why dieting is important. That's why all these things in this world are important right now. Because people are looking for happiness. Let me ask all of you that went on a diet the first of the year. Does dieting make you happy? It makes me angry. And I told Shell yesterday, I said, you know what? I'm going to be fat and happy. Because this dieting just makes me angry. We are so worried about these things that we think will make us happy. I can go on vacation so it will make me happy. And when I get there, I get to thinking, you know what? I've came here and spent $1,000. And I could have stayed at Mount Hebron and rode my horse and been just as happy. Nobody does that but me, right? We look at these things and we say, you know what? That will make me happy. This will make me happy. Now, if I could just do this, I think I'd finally be happy. Let me say what God is saying. You want to be happy? Walk God's way. Live God's way. And I can guarantee happiness. Because that's what He's told us tonight. Not me, but God has. You want to be happy? Really happy? Happiness that will last and not wear off? Follow God's way. Let's stand tonight for prayer. If there's a need in your life, if you're looking for happiness and you haven't found it, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. The first verse we read tonight, happy are those who has hope in God. That's the only way you're going to get it, is in God. The only way you get God is through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for Your love. We thank You just for the privilege that we've had to share Your Scripture together. And Lord, we know that You want us to be a people that is zealous. A people that are happy. And Lord, I realize the only way I can be happy is to walk Your way and live Your way. And so Lord, I ask You tonight to continue to point me in the right direction. When I stray, put me back on the right path. Lord, help me to be a happy person living in an unhappy world. Lord, I realize that by doing that, lost people might see You through our lives. Lord, if there's needs here tonight, my prayer is simply this, that You will direct by Your Spirit in that direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.